The Hardest Knock of All by Carol Roshan, read by the author.
Sam batted at the paper in the typewriter and smiled. Not bad, he murmured proudly to himself. He pressed his hands together, then held them out in front of him and slapped them together, trying to stop the shakes. He reached for his empty teacup and grimaced, meandering out of his combination study and bedroom down the hall to the kitchen. He lifted the warm, steeping tea from the burner. He sighed, enjoying the burst of aroma, clearing his head. While he sipped his tea, he walked to the window just for a change of scenery. The kids were climbing that cherry tree again. Its branches were so frail. He pounded hard on the window and yelled, "Get off of there!" shaking his fist. He loved those kids. He laughed out loud watching their silly play, but his exuberance dwindled quickly. "You make me sick!" Sam's easy moment shattered. Belle leaned against the door jamb, dragging on a cigarette, staring through two thin slits at Sam. Sam's composure remained unchanged. He didn't care anymore what she thought. He hadn't for a long time. He was just tired of listening to her. Tuning out Belle's ravings, he made his way quickly past her. As usual, she pursued him, unrelenting, back down the hall. "What good are you? I'd really like to know that. What have you accomplished in your life?" Belle spitefully hounded. "There should be a law against this kind of noise pollution. Husband harassment." "Oh, escape," his mind pleaded. "Give us a break." He turned into his study, swinging the door closed with his foot, slamming the door in her face. Quiet? His mind questioned the surprising stillness of the house. He stood looking at the door for a long time while he drank his tea, his mind flashing on his wife, her pushing the door open abruptly and aiming a rifle at his chest, the smoke exploding out the end, blasting him against the wall. His face froze in shock. Then he clicked back into reality and he shook his head. "How can you see things so vividly, so violently?" It worried him at times. He wondered if other people have such flashes of self-annihilation. He hoped it wasn't a premonition of something to come. "You superstitious fool." He rubbed his forehead. "Get back to work, Sam March. Do you want to be a famous writer or the shiftless, no good for nothing you are?" He returned to his typewriter, its endless attraction, like a good old friend, always reeled him in. G-R-E, he poked at the keys, and finally the rhythm began to flow. The door burst open, and Sam turned to face Belle's frowning face. Sam could sense she was unusually agitated today. "I want out," she demanded, her voice quivering yet controlled. "I've had it with you. You move out of this house tomorrow." "I'm not going to, Belle." Sam spoke unbelievably calm, although his blood pressure was on the rise. "You and I are stuck, unless you'd be willing to move out. Leave me the kids, of course." Belle retreated in a huff, slamming the door, and Sam sat again mesmerized. When the door flew open a second time, "Jesus, Belle!" Her fury was obvious at one glance. "Mad," thought Sam, as he scrambled quickly to his feet, his eyes riveted on the shovel slung over her shoulder, like a baseball player ready to strike. Unprepared and surprised, Sam watched the shovel fall with a leveling force to the side of his head. The room whirled as Sam toppled in a useless heap at her mercy. For an instant, Sam was thrust into darkness, envisioning the shovel and Belle's twisted face fluttering erratically through his thoughts. The panic set in. His eyes popped open and he blinked hard, trying to clear the haze. He was being ruefully turned over onto his back and scrutinized carefully by a leering Belle, still holding the shovel in a striking position. "No, Belle, stop!" He wanted to shout, but the words wouldn't come. His body wouldn't move. "You bitch!" his tormented mind screamed out, and more. Belle smiled a broad grin, enjoying his apparent helplessness. The children and I have a surprise, something we've been working on just for you. Come on, sweetheart. She pulled him, dragging him out of his room into the hall by his legs, grunting and straining. She inched him over the wooden floor, his arms trailing last, like a rag doll. He glanced from side to side, then at her, frantically searching for something, someone to help. Was this really happening to him? Had he pushed Belle too far? The notion of being a casual observer with an overactive amount of empathy and sympathy for the unobtrusive hero crossed his mind as a possibility. Sam, get your head on straight. What's happening here? Where was she taking him? Out the kitchen door, she continued her rigorous task, his head flopping hard on each porch step until it hit the cement sidewalk, the hardest knock of all. He couldn't believe the look of pure pleasure on Belle's face. Just you wait, my darling wife, still maintaining a healthy, optimistic outlook, even under these doom and gloom circumstances. He burnt the message out through his enraged eyes. What are you going to do to me now, Sam? She quipped with a light titter, reading his thoughts. There are your kids. Get them to help you. Sam hopefully glanced at his right. Johnny and Morgan were back in the cherry tree. Kids! Johnny! Morgan! Look here! Please look at your father, being dragged to who knows where by his mad woman, your mother. Help me, kids! Can't you look up from your damn play for a minute? His father's being murdered, and maybe worse. For God's sake, what's happening here? The question rang out again. He knew his kids loved him. They always said they did, acted like they did. If they didn't care, for a moment his optimism wavered. He had never considered the loss of their support, and at a time like this. Bill remained diligent, as always, when she got something in her head. Sam could see the grass was wet, probably cold, as if he'll feel it. His heart pounded as they neared the garden at the back of the yard. Holy smokes! His head throbbed, a delayed reaction to its brutal treatment, he thought. Holy smokes again! His first impression was right. She did intend to kill him. He could see the edge of the neatly dug hole, perhaps grave depending on your viewpoint, the dirt piled in a mound to one side. His mind whirled. Stop this! Stop this, Sam! He was pleading with himself. With an eerie flop, he dropped into his early grave without lifting a finger. A perfect fit. Sam March, you're going crazy. He squeezed his eyes closed and open rapidly, hoping to see, feel something different. The dirt splashed indiscriminately over his body into his face, while Belle stopped occasionally to lean back and laugh at poor Sam's predicament. Okay, Belle, okay. I'll give you what you want. God damn it, I'll leave. There's no reason for me to stay. I know that. Stop, Belle. God, oh God, he closed his eyes, not capable of enduring more, hoping death would be quick. His body shook spasmodically, feeling the eternal cold seeping in. He could feel this perspiration trickle down his face, mixed with a steady flow of tears. Oh, Belle, I promise I'll leave you. Only don't do this, he whimpered pathetically. I promise to God, please stop this nightmare. You will? Belle's response came as a sudden surprise to Sam. Oh, no, not again. He looked around his room, then down the length of his outstretched body, lying so still. His arms quickly patted his legs, stomach, and chest for feeling, and sure enough, he was alive and well. He looked into Belle's eyes and saw her apprehension and concern. What's the matter with you? Look at you, sweating and crying. You going crazy or something? Sam got to his shaky feet and straightened himself out, wiping away the tears, pushing his brown, stringy hair back out of his face, trying to assume some degree of normalcy. Well, I'm sure you'll have a lot to tell your little friends now about your loony husband. Belle's face hardened as the concern diminished. Are you really leaving? Sam walked to the typewriter, not wishing to pursue this line of conversation right now. He had a lot on his mind. Belle was hot on his heels. You were down there on the floor, bawling, like a baby, telling me you're going to leave, promising, pleading. It was really sick, but nothing you do surprises me. Sam adjusted a few papers on his desk, disregarding her. Well, she insisted. I am not leaving, he murmured, almost inaudible. What? I am not leaving, damn it. He swung around, facing her. I'm crazy, getting crazier by the minute, along with everyone else. But I belong here. There's nowhere else I'd rather be. Excitement filled his voice, listening to himself, signing his possible death warrant. I am committed to this family, you and those boys. We're going through a bad time. You don't look that pretty to me right now, Belle, but still feeling reluctant to be so honest. And I don't look so good to you. But I have faith things will get better. I have put up with a lot, and I will put up with anything, because I know what I want, and I know what's important. Belle stood quiet, staring into Sam's eyes incredulously, while he stared back, looking nervous about his decision and where it would take him. He sighed, wishing things could be different, wanting a place in this time, coupled with a little tenderness. He lowered her to the floor, gently opened her blouse, kissing down her neck. An easy seduction, both consenting adults, animals, rubbing their soft, sweaty bodies together. Nothing beyond them, no holes barred, only gut gratification. Sam quivered in his shoes. This was one fantasy he didn't want to leave, recalling what they were like. I am going out to work in the garden, said Belle softly, still gazing intently at Sam. Sure, responded Sam, drifting unwillingly out of the fantasy. Belle walked away, closing the door quietly behind her. Sam didn't linger, knowing too well how he could get carried away. So back to work. There seemed to be something carefree in his attitude. He was resolute, and he still felt things would get better. He wasn't going to let his imagination get the better of him. He heard the door creak open as Belle poked her head in. He looked over his shoulder with a smile, wondering if he'd made the right decision. He'd probably always wonder. He only glimpsed the shovel in her hand before it fell.